and gentlemen, welcome to NJPW Pro Wrestling Review. I am your co-host, the Ben, who's the biggest fan of the Fighting Princess. I'm Andre C. Right over here, it's the Dino Nugget herself. It's Melba. How you doing, Melba?
Dino Nugget. What does that mean? Does that mean I'm full of rage and small? Tastes like chicken.
No, you're a piece of chicken shaped like a dinosaur.
Fair. We had Dino Nuggies last week when we attended a show at the Telescience Center where we had a poutine that was topped with bacon, honey, and Dino Nuggies. It was delicious.
I had a hot dog.
Yes, you did. I had an exciting weekend where I attended that Disney immersive experience with my bestie, Michelle. That was a fun experience. If you guys have the chance to check it out in your area, highly recommend. It was fun to just sit there and watch children run through fake leaves and bubbles. Lots of bubbles. Bubbles. So very somber weekend. I had a funeral to go to, and that was a little unfortunate. But we had a great leg day today. So that's a plus. Good way to start the week. How are you, my friend?
I'm happier now that my furnace is working again. I talked to the update. We started the show late because I had no furnace. So I was trying to get it working. And I had to get somebody to come out because the motor control board went on it. And that cost us a pretty penny to get that fixed.
Yikes. Yeah. Hey, at least it's fixed. And at least we did not have that happen when we had that minus 40 snap.
And thank God for space heaters. Space heaters.
Canadian's best friend, to be fair.
It honestly is true. I think my basement was warmer with the space heaters than it is with the furnace, because it's just space heater. Because a space heater is constant heat, or my, like, you know, this thing cycles on and off. Yeah.
But we're not here to talk about that. Jinx.
You're not.
I'm just kidding. You can talk. I will allow it.
All right. Thank you. we're not here to talk about ourselves. We're here to talk about some wonderful Japanese professional wrestling. But before we do that, I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us here on either Andre Melball Wrestling Talk, Backbreaker Video, or on our audio friends, Sunday's Main Event. You can check them out at sunnyandsmainevent.com or on patreon.com SNME Radio. Please support them over there. I want to thank you for, and if you are listening there, please give a 5-star review to the channel. We would really appreciate it. And if you're watching us on Andrea Mobile or Wrestling Talk or Backbreaker Video, please like the video, subscribe to the channel, comment down below. We love hearing from you guys. Share it out to all your friends, family, and weird aliens that are always messing with people. And also hit that notification bell so you can be alerted when we drop a new video.
Ding dong.
What are you selling?
It's Girl Scout cookie
season. Oh, no. Screw you. No cookies. No, I don't need cookies. I'm trying to get healthy here.
Hey, now, that doesn't mean that we can't have a Fat Friday meal once in a while. You know what I'm saying?
I had Swiss rolls on Friday and Saturday and Sunday.
That seems like a lot more than just Fat Friday.
There might be two more still upstairs, so...
Andre.
Hey, it was two on the Friday, one on the Saturday, and one on the Sunday. That's pretty good for this guy.
We'll take our victories where we can, my friend.
And then potato chips.
You're digging yourself a hole. If Rich ever sees this, he's going to be like, you bastard, 10 minutes more on that treadmill.
Oh, Jesus. I did 10 minutes on the elliptical today. Let's go. Woo. Yay. God. After doing a lot of core workouts, just my midsection is killing me now. Boo. Boo. Yay. Boo.
Keep digging, my friend. Keep digging. Good show.
All right. Hey, we're going to get into it. We're going to talk some New Japan Cup 2024 nights 2 and 3. We covered the first night of the cup on the New Japan Japan 52nd anniversary show that we covered. The first night was there. So we're talking into March 7th, night number two. Two undercard things we're going to talk about here. First, House of Torture versus Despy Hanma, Umino, and Yo. Show coming out all bandaged up and injured, saying, due to Naito's heavyweight advantage and the outside interference from Los Ingobernables, De Japón, and then the emotional and physical damage that was done to him by Naito, he will not be part of the match. And he was saying that Naito cheated because LIJ got involved. They only got involved because your bastards got involved first, you stupid idiot.
Convenient how he forgets that.
Fucking House of Torture logic.
Nugget. Yeah.
And, but they did bring out Perry to replace Show and in his first official match as a member of House of Torture. I decided not to watch the match and move on to the next match that I'm going to talk about. Just Five Guys versus Nothing I've been based upon. And the update I was going to give you all, we didn't get it. We got no Doki Choki on this one.
Correction. We got a very unenthusiastic Doki Choki when there was not actually a Doki Choki happening, which officially does not make it a Doki Choki.
No, it has to be him applying the Doki Choki with Gino yelling, mm-hmm. Doki Choki. That's the only time it matters is if Doki's applying it. If otherwise, it does not count.
Mm-hmm.
So we're saying that right here. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna jump into it. First match of the three cup matches on the 7th, Tomohiro Ishii versus the Birthday Boy, Chase Owens. I think he's probably what, like 50, 60 at this point. I don't know.
No. Isn't he like
33? Yes, he's younger than me. Yes, he is.
I was gonna say he's a young gun, young buck.
34. He turned 34. I don't know. I just wanted to be mean. I just wanted to be mean.
Rude. You're talking more about Ishii.
Ishii's the young. He's the young. He looked like the young spry one in this match, though.
Not true. Chase was moving pretty good.
Owens was like hobbling around throughout half the match. Even at the start, he was like, kind of hobbling. He was in a car accident right before he flew over to Japan, according to Walker Stewart. So I'll give him that. The way he was moving early, I think Ishii looked better than him at that point. Like,
tomato, tomato. I thought they moved pretty good together.
Yeah. Ishii attacks Owens before the bell. They brawl the floor. Ishii beating him up. This is where he found out he was in a car accident. Owens is trying to stop Ishii from getting back in the ring. He gets in at 19. They both, because like they were on the outside fighting, and Owens got the better of them and got back in before he did. And just a little weird thing he does. Owens takes him back to the floor at one point, runs him into the barricade. Ishii is trying to chop, but Owens pokes him in the eye and chokes Ishii with the shirt. And I can't remember which one of them called it a scarf. I think it was Gino called it a scarf.
Gino wouldn't call it a scarf. Scarf. It was probably Walker.
No, Gino called it a scarf, and then Walker's like, no, it's a shirt. It's just like a shirt. And it was just like, yeah. I think he was calling it a scarf, saying it doesn't hurt him. It's just a scarf. Like, I think is what he was called. Like, saying it. Yeah. He's just giving him a scarf. Like, I think he was like implying that he was putting a scarf on him or something. It was so dumb. I love it. We had Walker Stewart and Gino Gambino on and Chris Charlton on the 7th, and then we had just the two of them on the 8th. But Gino's just a highlight in these. It's so good.
I have missed having Gino on commentary. Make him come back more, please. We need Gino.
And Owens gets that Marvel special in the corner, which is that flatliner into the corner, hits an STO, then a senton. But he can only get two. Boots in the corner into a snapmare into the PK. And he hits a neck breaker, but he only gets two again. Again, they're trading attack strikes on the ropes. They trade Germans. They trade more strikes. And Ishii hits a big old lariat, and they both go down. Excuse me. Owens is, like, trying to strike Ishii. Ishii's like, no. And he just, like, He puts him up top. Ishii hits a superplex and gets a two. Owens reverses a powerbomb into a pin for two. Hits the back elbow, but he gets caught with the on the C-trigger attempt, and Ishii hits the stack powerbomb for two. Owens dodges the sliding lariat and hits the jewel heist, which is his spinning lariat move that he does, and he gets a two. C-trigger into the ropes, but Ishii comes back with a strike, and then a headbutt dropping Owens. Owens atop, gets up top, or... Oh, sorry, it's not atop. It stops. I just put it at A instead of an S. Oh, and stops the lariat with a C trigger. Then another one, but Ishii kicks at 2.9. Owens gets a Styles Clash after a series of reversals. He gets two. Ishii looked like he tucked his head on the Styles Clash. I'm like, dude, you never tuck your head on Styles Clash. I was like, ooh, I hope he didn't hurt himself. Headbutt by Ishii, but the lariat by Owens, and he hits a half and half into the C-trigger, tries the package pile driver, but Ishii slips out, gets a strike and an enziguri. Ishii hits a sliding lariat, but gets rolled up for two. Then Owens hits, or then he gets out, and he hits Owens with this, like, running, like, bullet-style headbutt, like a Hanma Kokeshi-style, like, rocket headbutt into the corner. Yeah. Looks so good. So good. But again, he only gets two. Ishii, lariat, Owens reverses the brainbuster into a pop-up C-trigger, and he hits the package pile driver for the win. Owens says, asks Walker after the match, are we still in for dinner? Walker says yes. Owens then invites Gino Gambino, and then he goes, I guess you can come too, Chris, but you got to pay for yourself.
I mean, could have made Walker pay for everybody.
Well, he's making Walker pay for Gino, but he doesn't want to be nice. He's not being nice to Chris. Come on.
I guess I get it. I don't know. I love Chris Charlton.
We all do, but I understand why Chris, like, why Chase does not.
Yeah. Chris Charlton always calling him some pretty strong British names. Yes, I get it. This was really, really intense match. I really, really like this. I like seeing these two face off together. Don't have a whole ton to add. It was a lot of lariats from Ishii, which we know is one of his most powerful kind of moves. To see how many he hit Chase with and Chase refused to go down was really, really impressive. Always got to shout out that package pile driver. It's one of my favorites in the business. It's so crisp, so good. He sets it up so quickly, too. Yeah, I don't have a lot to add to this.
I'll say I think the only package pile driver I like better is probably Penta's Fear Factor package pile driver. And again, I've seen that in person. And I've seen Chase's package pile driver in person, too. Don't get me wrong. It's just he does it. And the way he lifts the guy and crashes him down, it looks so good. But, like, Owens does it so well. It's so smooth in the way he operates it. Yeah. Very good. Very, very well done. We're going to move on to the next match on night number two. It is Tangaloa with Jado versus the Great Okan with Jeff Cobb. And they show Toriano on the Japanese commentary. I was thinking, no, he's going to get involved in this bullshit. But thankfully, he did not. I was thankful for that. Yeah, they start running, and Loa immediately runs Khan into the corner with the shoulders to the midsection. Khan comes back out with a takedown, works his amateur style for a minute or two. Loa fights back, hits lariats, and hits slams. Khan ends up dumping Loa over the top rope to the floor. He hit, like by the knee, so he lands on his knee on the outside. He attacks the knee, runs him knee first in the barricade, chokes him with a chair, slams the barricade door on him. In the back of the ring, Khan gets low in the corner, sits on his head, then gets a release suplex and goes for the cocky pin for nothing because Loa kicked out before the ref could even count. And then he goes for the real pin, but only gets two. So if he went for a regular pin to begin with, there's a possibility the jerk could have won it right there, but wants to be a cocky asshole. And I love this dude. I'm an Empire. Like, I have the banner behind me, but he's playing it wrong here, man. He's going back to kind of like Ocon from a couple years ago. Like, he's going back to that, like, cocky Ocon again, which isn't a bad thing for character, but, dude, you're screwing yourself out of wins here, dude. Like,
yeah. Very much so. I have to agree. We'll comment a little bit more on that at the end of it when you give us the finish.
So, yeah, Mongolian Chops by combat. Loa fights back into, as Mel has dubbed it, the sword hammer.
Yes.
Into so the good. Loa gets a lariat in the ropes. Hits a missile dropkick for two. Khan hits a bunch of judo and monkey flips to Loa, just like flipping him around, like judo throws, monkey flips, flipping him over his shoulder. Look really good. Here is the rear naked choke claw thing, but Loa gets a foot on the ropes. They're trading strikes back and forth. Loa hits the enziguri and the power slam goes up, but misses the flying headbutt. Khan gets the arm triangle choke, then hits an exploder and reapplies the arm triangle choke, and Loa struggling, but eventually gets a foot on the ropes. Khan hits grapple Fado Khan, which is that sleeper suplex. But Loa hits the lariat, hits ape shit, and I'm like, it's over. He's a ape shit, it's over. But Khan kicks it at like 2.9, and I'm like, oh, he kicked out of ape shit. That's his big finish move. That's his stormbreaker. Mm-hmm. That's his big move. That's his big finish, right? Mm-hmm. Ocon reverses a suplex and gets that TTD, but and he gets a two count. Loa then applies the sheep killer into the claw, goes for the eliminator, but Loa reverses it, hits a spear, and then he busts out a move we haven't seen here in a little bit. He going Kota Ibushi right here, grabs the wrist, Kamigoye to the face, and Tangaloa using the weapon that was injured, knee to the face, gets him the win. And Tangaloa breaking my bracket here, just like Chase Owens did in the match before this. Man. like night one, I went 2-1. I am now I'm 0-2 on the second night. I was like, how can this get worse? And I'm like, and as much as I want in my heart for TJP to Finn Finley, like, if Finley loses, that completely screws my bracket. like, I mean, screws my whole bracket.
Yeah, you're having some luck in pickings how I usually have in the G1.
I got kented. Just like on the first night, I got kented because I went with my heart and picked thinking of Mel.
I know. And see, why did you do that? Of course, why would they reward Kenta? Don't get me started on that ish. Yeah, I really enjoyed the kind of start of this match where Ocon was really forcing Loa down to the mat and doing that more amateur wrestling style that he usually pulls out of Yano. I really enjoyed that because it was a different styling that we don't see Tangaloa typically go after, but he handled it very, very well. Gotta hate that sit down on the back of the head in the corner there. That was hard to see Mr. Tonga stuck in that. Especially because you don't typically see the bigger guys kind of get trapped by Ocon in there. It's usually
only when they do multi-man tags when the other members of Empire set him up for that.
Yeah, there's usually assistance in some way.
And again, I've always found that move kind of a comedy move more than anything.
It is, yeah. Or just like depending on how it's set up or what he does in it, it could be either a comedy spot or it can be a degrading spot. Mm. And I think that's what it was meant to be in this one, because you got that typically you got the what is his name? Silverback?
Yeah.
Gorilla, right? The strongest, kind of ape. Yeah, it's an ape. Mm-hmm. Strongest ape in the wild, right? Yeah, one of the strongest mammals. Break a human up, no problem. So like to do that to something so strong was very much an intimidation and kind of derogatory thing that Khan did there, but I really liked how it did add to the character. But as you've said at the beginning there, it does revert back to the O'Khan from a few years ago. And that was when O'Khan started not O'Conning so much, you know what I mean? You know, that was when we started seeing the character kind of do that little downward spiral, losing that Rev Pro Championship and just kind of canting, I think is the word there, which is really unfortunate because he's so talented and so he's got that adaptable, almost chameleon-esque ability to just wrestle whoever and have a great match. It disappoints me to see.
Me too.
Yeah. I don't have a lot to add to that.
All righty then. Again, I thought a really solid match. And like, I picked O'Khan to win here, but I think it was almost better with Loa taking the win here. Because again, I really didn't put much stock in him. Kind of like I did with Finley a year or two ago before he went. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it was last year. I didn't pick much into Finley, and he had a great year last year. It just, I wasn't thinking because it's like, this is a different Loa. This isn't the tag team Loa now. This is singles Tangaloa. So, mm-hmm. So I got to put a different ish on him now.
A different ish.
A different ish, you know.
Love it.
We move on. Main event of the March 7th show. It's TJP representing the Empire with the red eyes. Red eyes TJP here. Oswang spirits inside of him. With Francesco Akira on the outside, taking on David Finley with Gato on the outside. TJP hits a baseball slide during Finley's entrance and then gets him inside, hits a mama splash in the ring. Finley immediately rolls out. TJP goes up and over for that wrecking ball style drop kick over the top. Looked awesome.
Mm-hmm.
TJP gets him back in the ring, hits the lace wash and running boot twice. The second time, as he hits the boot, he goes sliding in between the two ropes out to the floor. Looked great. TJP goes to the top, but Finley knocks him off the top to the floor, tosses him head first, like picks him up and tosses him head first into the post. Like just a hole. Finley punishing TJP in the ring with strikes. It's a toss suplex. He's whipping into him into the corner hard, whips him into the corner so hard at one point, he goes bouncing over the top to the floor.
Yeah.
Finley just relentless on the floor. And he brings him back in the ring. He's just beating on him. But TJP fights back and gets a hammerlock, that hammerlock arm snap, and then hits, and then like does that running, like reckless Mick Foley style cross, like much more athletic looking, but that Foley like kind of crash into the guy and go over the top rope, look like move, and we're crashing them both over the top. Yeah, just it looked really good. I just really like that crash over the top. TJP snapping the arms and the ropes of Finley. Then he gets him hung over the ropes and hits the Mamba splash onto Finley, who crashes him into the apron. Back in the ring, gets a forearm off the top, that Osprey style forearm off the top to the back of the head. He gets Finley in the Tree of Woe, stomps at the face, hits the drop kick, then he goes to the top and hits that Tree of Woe stomp off the top, but can only get two. Again, this like match, this stuff back and forth to these two is absolutely incredible here. Finley reverses that running knee into the Irish Curse backbreaker, and it's like he kits him up, and like you can see TJP fighting, and Finley has to readjust and lift him to bring him down. Just like those little things that these two did together made it so just beautiful in the way they fought each other, man. It was so good. TJP tries to go up and over Finley in the corner, but he catches them and hits him with that sit-out dominator. Finley hits a rebound lariat and then a swinging Irish Curse backbreaker for two. Finley goes for into oblivion, or maybe it was the underkill, I'm not sure. But TJP slips into the octopus, but Finley eventually gets to the ropes. TJP targeting the arm, hits a super kick. They trade kicks and strikes. TJP hits a lariat. Finley reverses a suplex, and this is where he hits into oblivion. But TJP kicks it at 2.9. crucifix pin by TJP, then for two. Then Finley gets a deep six. If you know who Baron Corbin is, you know what I'm talking about. It's a spinning back suplex, I would guess I'm going to call it. He goes for the power bomb, but it gets reversed into a DDT by TJP. Gato, this is where Gato gets involved. He gets on the apron. TJP stops the shillelagh because he slid the shillelagh to Finley, and then he got up on the apron to distract the ref. He stops the shillelagh shot and hits the red mist, and then hits the running knee, but can only get two. Straight drop kicks Gato off of the apron. Goes up, Mamba Splash. He gets another two, but then goes right into the Pinoy stretch. But Finley fights, fights, and fights. He gets to the ropes. Osprey's trying to hit his cross arm DDT that he does. That is like it's
Osprey.
No, TJP. I'm sorry. Hey, TJP was having a hell of a match here, dude. Like,
whoa.
Hey, he made me think so much of Osprey at this point. I'm sorry. TJP trying to do that
compliment.
Trying to do that cross arm DDT, the cross arm impaler DDT that he has. But he gets back body drops, and then Finley also stops the tornado DDT attempt into another backdrop, but right into the corner. This is where Finley hits a power bomb, can only get two. So he lifts him up, hits the overkill, and Finley gets the win. My bracket is saved. But if TJP had broken my bracket, I wouldn't be mad at the guy. Cause like I feel like this was almost a graduation ceremony for TJP into the heavyweight division. Again, that's what I'm hoping this is. Mm-hmm. What I was hoping that was the Hiromu a couple of years ago was, but it wasn't. But I'm hoping this is TJP's kind of like coming out into that heavyweight division.
Mm-hmm.
I feel. Yeah, get him into that global title picture, get him into or into the never title, whatever. But get him into that singles heavyweight title picture. Even the never mm-hmm. would work because, again, it's an open weight title.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to give you the post-match before you go in. Finley says one down, four to go. He will leave five bodies laying in on his way to winning this tournament. He tells Naito that he will smash him into 1,000 pizzas and take his world championship after that NMF. He says, after that, Nemeth, I'm coming for you. So he wants to unify the world and global titles, obviously.
Or just be a double title holder.
Yeah. Again, unification, some similar thing.
We don't need to unify things. I don't like that. Don't do that. Just leave them separate. I don't have, you talked a lot about the big stuff that I did write down here. The only thing I wanted to mention that I really, really like and to add to your details is that what I like when TJP had Finley in the Tree of Woe, he set him up and Finley was dingly dangling like he usually would. What I really, really liked is that TJP, once he got to the top, he hit Finley in the gut, like he reached down and hit him in the gut to make Finley mm-hmm. react in the sit up kind of motion. It makes sense. It makes so much sense with the move, because usually I'm very critical when someone's sitting there for that move and they're hanging on to the middle rope like, okay, we're ready, we're waiting, come on. It was a thing that just helped make everything so organic. And as I love to say about NJPW matches, they like to suspend that reality of that kind of, you know what I mean? Like they create that reality within the ring, knowing what it is. And I love that detail about these guys. This was a banger of a match.
Yeah. Again, these two stole the show. And again, you look at the matchup on paper and you're like, oh, that looks like it'd be a good match. It far exceeded every thought I could have had about this match. I thought these two tore it down, man. Like,
mm-hmm.
And I don't think this match will get the proper respect it deserves, but it was mm-hmm. really good. I wouldn't put it in match of the year quality, wasn't quite there, but again, really, really, it could probably contend in match of the tournament for this tournament. Mm-hmm. Like it could be in that top 5 to 10 matches of this whole mm-hmm. tournament.
100%. 100%. I did have two more things that I wanted to mention real quick about the show overall. I just wanted to shout out Jeff Cobb. His tour of the islands on Ishimori was freaking mental. The height that, like, I thought he was, if he would have let go of Ishimori, he probably would have yeeted him into the crowd. It was crazy.
Well, again, the guy is tiny though, comparatively. Like,
it was really, really cool. Another thing I wanted to note was, did you notice how quiet everybody was for the House of Torture win? Ren Narita winning in that House of Torture mess, that show.
Okay, like I said earlier, I decided to skip that match.
Well, the crowd was dead. And something I also noted that I didn't know if I quite liked or not, did Jack Perry just yoink Ren Narita's story? Because Ren Narita was kind of having a little bit of a battle with Shota Umino, and now that kind of seems to have been just pushed aside for Jack Perry. What do you think?
I have a feeling he's kind of stolen his story. I agree with you on that, yeah.
I kind of am disappointed in that. Because even though I do feel that Narita does have some development to do, I think the best way for him to do that development, which is already coming along so nicely, would be to have him continue in the story that he already had set up with Shota Umino. Because, like, now, where does he go? Where does he go from here?
He takes back seat to Perry for the rest of the tour into Windy City Riot, at least.
See, I don't like that. Anyway, that's all I had to say.
All right, let's move on. We're going to move to the March 8th show. Before I talk about this match, Just Five Guys versus House of Torture. No proper Doki Choki in this match. I don't know if he yelled Doki Choki at any other point, but it wasn't for an actual Doki Choki.
Rude.
I know.
Why you bring Gino and no bring Doki Choki?
Yeah, Doki Choki, Doki Choki, Doki Choki.
Kevin.
We move into the first match of the March 8th first round matches. It's Hikuleo versus the young boy, Oleg Bolton. And this turned out to be a surprisingly really good match. But is it that surprising, though? Because we have talked about how well, I think Hikuleo is your most improved last year. On our award show in January, and Oleg Bolton has been built up so well, and his evolution as a young lion has been so good this past year. It surprises us, but really it shouldn't, with how good these two actually are, and we've watched them multiple times.
Yes, but do you recall on Japanese Wrestling Update on our local establishment there when I told you that I had already watched this? Because I managed to watch it before we went on. I was like, this match was better than the main event on this show. You were like, shut the front door. There's no way.
Better than Takagi versus Uemura? No way. I thought it was. I agree with you. Like, the main event wasn't a bad match. It was a good match. It just, I thought this had far more intensity and personality. Like, I think Bolton Oleg has more personality than Yuya Uemura.
And it's crazy where it's just come from, because it was like, that was the one thing that I was complaining about the last couple of months, was that he was doing so good in ring. It just, I wanted to see some personality. Now they put him in with Hikuleo, who was showing so much personality in this match. It was able to bring out personality in Bolton. It made him comfortable enough to bring that out. I think that's why this match was so good.
Yeah, 100%. So before the match, Oleg was presented with flowers from a Kazakhstani transfer student who's studying and wrestling in a Japanese university, as far as I could tell from the translations that Walker and Gino did here. I kind of wish we had Chris, because he's far more, like, he is super fluent in it. So I think he could have given I'm pretty sure this was information they were getting from somebody else. And yeah, I think I just like as a, like a like hey, thank you for representing us kind of deal mm-hmm. is what this was. I was super confused. I'm super confused by the whole situation, but
working on some karate there. Hey, yeah, Chop Talk next time on Chop Talk.
Yeah, you'll see my karate on Chop Talk because I go on every show. I don't even know if I do. I don't even know if I don't even know if I actually do that though.
I mean, I do this at the beginning.
Okay, but you
we're getting off topic
because people can't see you. That's why, because you're Juan Cena,
Mel Balcina,
and Mel Balcina. Yeah, power from both these guys just smashing into each other. Mm-hmm. Oleg dropping Hikulea with the shoulder block, hits a splash. But he gets a two count out of it, but he can't get the Boston Crab here. Hikulea fires back. It strikes. It's the big boot. Hikulea hits the world's strongest slam to Oleg for two. Hikulea stops the slam attempt, gets his own, and has a jumping elbow for two. They're firing chops back and forth, and each are calling for the other one to hit them. And then Oleg dodges out of the corner, throws strikes to the back, but he can't get the German. So he unloads strikes, catches the Hikulea strike into a belly-to-belly suplex and gets a two out of it. Oleg then transitions into the Boston Crab. Hikuleo's like fighting. He gets to the ropes. Hikulea hits a lariat, but Oleg gets a small package for two, then reverses a Hikulea lariat into his own. He reverses the Hikulariat into one of his own and follows with the bridging German suplex for two. Oleg gets Hikuleo up on his shoulders, like F5 style, but Hikuleo slips off, pushes him into the ropes, catches him with the snap power slam, then finishes him off with the godsend choke slam for the win in what is my most surprising match of the because of how good this was of this entire tournament so far. Absolutely phenomenal match.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe I know some stuff, huh?
Sometimes.
I know a thing or two about a thing or two.
Once in a while.
Once in a while. It's like a blue moon thing, like you're cooked mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. I was very impressed with this match. I have been a little tough on, again, as I mentioned, Hikuleo. Bolton, well, it was tough on Hikuleo last year, but Bolton, his facial expressions, I don't know where they came from in this match, but they were damn good. I feel, working with Hikuleo gave him confidence, and you saw the confidence come out more and more and more as the match progressed, and you saw the intensity come out of Hikuleo also, kind of like, I feel like Hikuleo sort of went into it thinking that it was going to be a little bit easier than it was. And we saw him have to really turn it up as the match kind of progressed.
Yeah.
I did notice also at one point, it looked like Hikuleo may have busted his lip, had a little bit of a bloody lip. That Bolton was able to suplex Hikuleo was freaking cool. I mean, not surprising because of how powerful and strong he is, but still really freaking cool. Because you don't see Hikuleo get yeeted around too much. This was one of those.
And how big Bolton actually is, and the mm-hmm. fact that he was shorter than Hikuleo, and he towers over most other people in this company. To have somebody mm-hmm. that's taller than him is crazy.
Last thing I wanted to say was that Hickey Man's scoop slam is just so picture perfect. He does that so good. That's all I got on this one. This was freaking phenomenal. I loved this match.
Yeah, again, a sleeper match out of this tournament, man. I don't think any expected to be this as good as it was. Again, 9 minutes mm-hmm. and 20 seconds, but an incredibly great 9 minutes and 20 seconds.
Oh, yeah, very much so.
So we move on to what was my match of the night. It's Gabe Kidd versus Callum Newman. These two tore it down for 14 minutes and 10 seconds. They absolutely tore it up, man. These two were so good together. Mm-hmm. Newman coming out with the Empire, but they all stay at the entranceway and make their way back into the back, which I was like, okay, mm-hmm. letting the kid mm-hmm. go out to prove himself. And kid, like a gentleman, coming out on his own. He's like, I don't need anybody. He didn't bring Gato with him. He didn't bring
any other. I wouldn't say he was a gentleman. I'd say he was a cocky motherfucker.
Okay, a sportsman. How about that? Like a sportsman.
Sure.
Is that better? Sorry.
That's better as close word. As we're going to get an agreement on that one, I think.
Like, more like a sportsman. He comes out on his own, doesn't mm-hmm. bring backup. Fast real start with a roll up by Newman. Kid gets a hard strike. They're reversing each other, stopping each other's strikes. Newman gets that running pump kick. Kid rolls to the floor. Newman goes after him. Kid attacks him on the floor, but Newman ends up running Kid into the barricade and hits a shotgun drop kick on the floor. Newman dodges when he's a sweep on the apron and gets a PK to Kid on the floor. But Newman misses on an acai moonsault off the turnbuckle and crashes onto the floor. Looking like he hurt himself too. Really selling that knee well on that. Kid runs him into the barricade, then into some chairs. He takes a barricade, throws it onto Newman. Kid then pulls him back in and runs him into the post on the floor. Kid strikes Newman in the ring, but Newman fights back, unloading on Kid. But Kid puts him up top on the top rope and shoves him back out to the floor. Then Newman does Mel's favorite spot, gets it at 19.
You know what, though? I didn't watch the undercard of this one. Okay, so I don't know how many there was. So when this happened, it didn't annoy me as much.
No. I don't even think we got one in the first tournament match, tell you the truth.
We didn't. No. Yeah. No. In the undercard you mentioned it, but not in the main, I think.
Yeah, I think there was in the undercard, but not yeah. Just Kid with the chops to Newman, and Newman just keeps telling him to hit him more. And you hear Walker and Gina go, "This is a bad idea." Like, especially Gina going, "That's a bad idea, kid." And it's like you're not making good choices here. And it's just good.
Make better life choices, sir.
Yeah, Newman stops the suplex, hits one of his own. Kid ends up rolling to the floor. Newman hits two suicide dives. Newman hits the forearm to the back of the head. Off the top, Newman with the PKs, two PKs, he gets a two count. Newman is stopped on the tornado kick. Then he has his, then Gabe Kidd drop kicks his knee out from under him, and Kidd hits a backdrop suplex for two. They're trading strikes. Newman hits a standing Spanish fly and catches Kidd running with that. Kidd spits at Newman. Newman hits a super kick in the corner drop kick. But it stopped on the Oss Cutter attempt. So he hits a flip Pele style kick off the middle rope. And then hits the Dragon Suplex into the tornado kick, but can only get two. Newman goes to the top, misses the Shooting Star Press, coming crashing down on the mat. Kid hits a lariat, but only gets one. Then he picks him up, Brainbuster. He gets two. Kid then picks him up, Cradle Pile Driver, and Gabe Kidd moves on to make me 2-2 on night number 3. Yes.
Did you mention the Spanish fly?
He just caught him running in that Spanish fly. Looks so good.
Oh, so crisp. So good.
He's Osprey Jr. here, man. Like,
yeah. Very impressive in this one, Newman. There was the first PK that he did on Kid closer to the beginning of the match. Mm. Did you see on the kick through on that? He actually was very close to kicking Marty Asadi in the face.
Oh, he should have. He should have.
Like, I saw Marty rear his head back a little bit, and I was like, oh, I didn't realize how close he was. Yeah, if he pulled it a slight bit when he did the complete follow-through, but if he didn't, he would have definitely booted Marty in the face. And it would have been funny, because But let me tell you, the bumps that Marty has been taking on this tour, They're really good. I mean, shout out Marty Jannetty. He's always taken those crazy bumps. I've actually also watched the 10th and 11th shows already. He took a really nasty bump, and I believe it was night 11. I was like, that man, I hope, is paid a lot. We'll talk about that when we get there.
Next episode, ladies and gentlemen.
next episode of Pooh and Rizzo Review. there, I don't know what it would be called. I called it a yeetplex because I don't know what else to call it. He like did the suplex motion and then just let go of Callum like randomly, and then Callum ended up just falling on his head.
I call it just like a toss suplex. So they just, it's where a guy lifts him up for a suplex and just lets them go.
Yeah, I called it a yeetplex.
Yeah, same similar thing, yeah.
Yeah, that looks so nasty. Oh, it looks so bad because he came down, like I said, right on the back of his head. Sold it so good. Yeah, and then the Spanish fly was just sick. Callum Newman put up a hell of a freaking fight in this match. I think we saw everything this kid had in his tank, and he still wasn't willing to go down at the end there. The kid had to work very, very hard for that victory.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it was nice to see kid again. What I'm a little, I don't know if I'm correct in saying this, but he felt a little more hinged today as opposed to his unhinged self. He was like, for the most part, more ready as opposed to more ready. He seemed a little, I'm going to say, subdued,
I would
considering.
he was match ready. He wasn't war ready, but he was match
Yeah,
ready.
he was very match ready, but he wasn't like war ready. Something has muted him down a little bit. And I hope that's just because of the tournament or something, or maybe some bad cheese. I don't know. But I really like the war ready, unhinged, feral Gabe kid who comes in just yelling at everybody and F-bombing everything. And you know, I what are we cackling about?
Bad cheese.
Don't know. Maybe he had some, you know, an upset stomach and he didn't want to go too crazy. I don't know. But like it felt a little subdued, and I hope in the next round that we see a little bit more of that feral kind of wild man kid that we were seeing last year. Are you okay over there? Are we hung up on cheese?
All I can do is imagine my me in my head, and I was Gabe Kid eating a piece of cheese and going, just
That's
all I
some
can,
bad cheese.
that's all I can think about now.
There's some bad cheese there, mate.
The bad cheese, Gabe Kid. I don't know why that got me, but it did.
I don't know either, but I'm glad it gave you some chuckles.
Bad cheese, Gabe Kid.
I really also liked at the end of this, after Gabe Kidd had won and made his exit, that the Empire members did come to retrieve their young boy, bring him to the back and congratulate him.
Hey, he had a stellar outing, and he hung with Kid. Yeah. Like I said, 14 minutes and 10 seconds. Like,
That was a great match. It didn't feel that long either.
oh, it felt like it went quick.
Yeah. Could
Yeah.
I feel that I could have had more.
Yeah. Now we move on to a match which I wish we would have had 5 minutes less of. You know what I mean? It was fine, but I could have done with 5 minutes less. It is Shingo Takagi versus Yuya Uemura. This match went 23 minutes, 22 seconds. Not that it was bad. It was a good match. I just didn't feel. I never got into it, man. Like, I never got the feeling of
So
this match.
something I had actually noted in the notes on the night before that I just didn't really say anything about was that I noticed in the Just Five Guys LIJ matchup, when these two got in the ring together, they struggled to get chemistry in that undercard match. And unfortunately, they weren't able to figure it out going into this match either. I felt that there was not a disconnect from them, but there was just, I feel like maybe it's just their type of chemistry doesn't quite mishy-mash together yet in a way that is main eventable.
Yeah, like, I understand why this was a main event, because if you look at the other two mm-hmm. matches, not quite main events, in, again, when you look at them, but, mm-hmm. like, either one could have main evented, if you really think about it, with how good, especially the Finley Newman, or not Finley, a Kid Newman match, that was, mm-hmm. like, stellar. But I get it. It's the Empire's young boy and literally a young boy in Bolton Oleg. You're not putting them in the main event. So, mm-hmm. I thought really good, strong match here. But just, they never seemed to quite find that fire with each other. Even Takagi never seemed to get that. He never got his.
Like, he said it, but he didn't feel it.
It didn't feel like, it was like, just a star. It never didn't feel, but it didn't fire. And you can see it from the crowd. It didn't fire up like normal. Mm-hmm. I don't know. They are in the land of the dragon. It is Shingo's hometown. Mm-hmm. The crowd, it was behind this guy throughout the match. Maybe it's you and Mura not getting any really, not getting much cheers in here. Maybe that was it. No. Maybe that's why he didn't find his pacing, maybe. Test of strength early. Each man trying to get the upper hand. This is where Yuya starts working over the arm of Shingo Takagi. You can get work in the arm for the first couple minutes of this. Shingo mm-hmm. does fire back with solid strikes, dropping Uemura. Uemura rolls out. Shingo runs Uemura into the barricade. He points at the English team, and they're like, oh, God, is he pointing at us? And, oh, he was, because he ran Uemura right into the barricade in front of the English commentary team, knocking out their monitors. So they had to call everything by watching it at the watching ringside and everything.
That destructive kind of, dragon.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. The fact that they were that he was like pointing at them and then ran them right at him, and it was just like, oh my god, no. It was actually pretty funny. Gino Gambino just bailing off a commentary when they came running at him. He's like, nope, and he just ran.
I mean, similar to how Don Callis would whenever Minoru Suzuki came out.
Well, yeah, because it's Minoru Suzuki.
Because run.
Nobody's... Minoru Suzuki. Shoulder well,
if Don Callis didn't look him in the eye every time he walked by, he wouldn't attack him. That was rule number one. Don't look Suzuki in the eye.
If I ever meet the man, I will look him in the eye.
You gonna die. Yeah.
I'm okay. I'm good with it. Shoulder block in the big old suplex by Takagi for two. He gets the elbows and the senton into the stack pin for two, into the SCF, into the crossface, into a Fujiwara armbar. Then Yuya Murimura gets hit to the ropes. Yuya hits a crossbody off the second rope, or the second turnbuckle. He fires up with arm drags, hits the kip up to literally no crowd reaction. And this is where I really started feeling like, man, he does not seem to have his pacing here. And doesn't, like, he just, again, maybe it was due to the crowd not having any real reaction to the guy. It's a back suplex, floats over into the pin for two. He's working over the arm, drop kicks to the arm, transitioning into the Kimura. But Shingo gets to the ropes. Shingo fights back, and he's working the arm. And hits that deadly, as they called it, the deadly driver DDT. Shingo catches the kick and hits a lariat in the corner. He puts Yuya up top. Yuya gets the arm, but Shingo fights him off and hits the superplex. Both men are down. Yuya stops mid in Japan, gets the full Nelson, but Shingo fights out of it. They trade chops and strikes, and Shingo unloads and gets the lariat, but Yuya hits a German suplex, and then the bridging dragon suplex for two. Corner drop kick, and a very much a Hanare Rampage-like move by Yuya Uemura here, but he can only get two. Hits an over... Shingo gets the overhead belly-to-belly and the pumping bomber. He hits Made in Japan, only gets two. Lariats by Shingo. But Yuya Murray hits the Enziguri into the Hurricanrana, into the armbar, but Shingo is fighting and fighting, and he gets his foot on the ropes. Yuya swinging Shingo around by the arm, like spinning him, like pulling on the arm, trying to really wrench that shoulder and bicep and everything. Tries to pull the deadbolt, but can't. Shingo starts hitting headbutts in the deadbolt lock. Yuya then hits a Pele kick, but Shingo hits a sliding lariat. The Rana gets reversed into a powerbomb by Shingo, and he hits a pumping bomb for two. He picks him up, Last of the Dragon, and Shingo scores the win. After the match, Naito and Tsuji came out, and they all fist each other. And Shingo then starts eyeing the world title.
And what I've been so far, at least, enjoying about this little camaraderie within LIJ is that three guys, well, one of them holding the title and two of them looking at the title going, kind of want that. We have been talking that this could be Naito's last run with a major title, given his age, given, you know, his career and everything. He's kind of done it all. But into this match real quick. Did you hear the burn Gino did on poor Walker? So in case you guys didn't know, this picture is outdated of Yuya Uemura. He does not have his hair any longer after losing it in a hair versus hair match against Yota Tsuji. So on commentary, Walker was actually mentioning that Yuya had actually donated his hair to cancer treatment people. So his hair was taken to a salon to be made into a wig that will be on some lovely person's head whenever they finish making that. And Gino turns to Walker and goes, yeah, I donated all of my weight to you. Rude.
Oh, what a dick.
So rude.
I heard this part. I heard them talk about the part of it donating hair, but I wasn't paying attention when he said the weight. Oh, man.
So mean, Gino.
Gino,
so mean.
I love you. I love you, Gino, but I'm a fat boy, dude. You can't be shamed. You're an ex-fat boy. You can't be shaming fat boys. Dude.
Yeah, won't do that. Especially when he just posted a really awesome transition before and after picture on his Instagram today. Go check it out if you haven't seen it yet. Gino.
You know the before and after. Gino.
Oh, Dick Togo's got a buddy now. He's got a challenge. Is he the big dick and Togo's the little dick?
Yeah, little dick.
Okay. There was one point at the beginning of this match, I think, what kind of turned me personally off of Yuya in this match was you were mentioning he was going through all of these different moves. He felt like he was trying to do every hold that he knew in his book in one big thing. Like the chain wrestling that they were doing, you just seemed to go from lock to lock to lock to lock to lock. And I was like, boy, you are doing too much.
Well, even
back like, a little bit.
Well, we even talked with Saber. He says he doesn't stay in a lock for about 6-7 seconds. But Yuya was doing into a lock, then he would like a second or two later would switch it.
It wasn't even was it was almost switch. Instantaneous. Yeah. It wasn't. No, there was no pace to it. All the pace was used in the match before. By the
Prince of Pace.
Ah, you caught that one. Yeah. There was also one thing that I want to be a little critical of that for me was a problem being a viewer at home, and that like this is good, but also it needs to be just figured out with the right dials. Yuya Uemura is very much like Sonata, his mentor, and that Sonata knows where all of the cameras are at ringside and which one to be looking at what time. Mm-hmm. Yuya was doing this, but it was like creepy. Like there were points where I felt like he was staring into my soul for how, like the manner he was staring at the camera. So maybe something he needs to look back at and be like, let's not be soul snatching people while they're watching professional wrestling. Cause they weren't okay faces like Sonata. Sonata, you know, he's a good looking guy. He doesn't move his face around too much. He's very subtle with his facial expressions. At one point, Yuya, I thought, looked like a bit of a serial killer. And I was a little afraid for my life. I thought that Boogeyman Yo-Yo was going to come through the TV and try to kill me or something. It was a little scary. I did enjoy, there was one part where Shingo did put a face lock
I'm gonna say
on
this, Mal.
Yomura.
You might have to stop watching this stuff while you're high.
Why though?
Just so you don't think the man's a serial killer.
Maybe if he didn't look like it, chill your facial expressions. He was definitely showing at certain parts of this match. And you know how Sho is with his facial expressions. They're very eccentrically over the top.
I love how it's a verb for us now, showing.
Yeah. And like dick togoing. Dick togoing is also a thing.
That's just dicking around.
Yeah. Dick on dick contact. Anyway, there was one point where Shingo put a face lock on Yuyumura, and I chuckled a lot at it because Shingo's hair was in Yuya's face and it looked like he had hair again. And then he moved and he didn't. And I laughed even more. yeah, this one was long, and for me it felt long. I did have a little bit of trouble maintaining my focus on it just because it felt like a little bit much. Yeah. That's all I got to say on this one.
Yeah, I agree with you. It flowed okay, but it did feel it felt like 23 minutes.
I agree. Yeah, I
And
felt every second of this one.
I watched it at 1.5 speed. So it was over in about 17, and it felt like 23 minutes.
That's a problem. It's a problem. A
Little bit.
little bit.
Little bits. Oh, way too many.
Whoa.
Wrong button, ladies and gentlemen. Wrong button. I'm leaving that in.
Wow.
I'm
Oof.
leaving this
Scare
all
me
in.
there.
Leaving this in. We have come to the end of another episode of NJPW Pro Wrestling Review. I want to thank you all for joining us here because we really do appreciate all the support you guys are giving us. It's killing time here. You can find this guy, me, the Andre C, over at the X Master on Blue Sky and Hive at that Canada guy, TikTok, Instagram, and Threads at that Canada dude. You can find me on Facebook at Andre Melville Wrestling Talk, or over on YouTube in the comment section at Andre Melville Wrestling Talk, right here on YouTube. You can also find us over at Sunday Night's Main Event.com or Patreon.com/SNME Radio. If you want to hear us in audio form, if you're hearing us in audio form right now, thank you so very much for tuning in. Please leave a 5-star review and support the channel on Patreon if you can. You also want to thank our friends over at our local establishment, where you can find me this coming when this went Wednesday the 13th. I will be on Marvel Talk and the MCU Rebound, on doing the MCU Rebound with my boy Old Ed, talking the First Avenger Captain America movie. So we're going to be checking that out and talking about that movie. I watched that about 2 weeks ago, I want to say. So we'll be talking about that. I think I'm already up to Guardians of the Galaxy in my rewatch. So I'm way ahead of where we're at. But I'm
Hey.
enjoying watching all these movies again. And yeah, so check that out on Wednesday the 13th. Also, you can check that on Twitch at the twitch.tv slash our local establishment, or you can check it out on the YouTube at youtube.com/@our local establishment. Also, Friday, March 15th, myself and Mubba will be having a pre-recorded version of Japanese Wrestling Update coming out for you, because Mel Ball and possibly an Andre Ball will be at Professional Wrestling. Just depends. I have a very busy week this week. So I might be using Friday to, decompress and recharge that social battery.
And what better way to decompress than watch the former love of my life, Mitch Clark, get beat by Son of Irish?
I would love that, but that would also deplete my social battery. I also want to thank our friends over at Backbreaker Video for simulcasting all of our videos a week after they come out on Andre Melba Wrestling Talk. Mike, thank you so very much for all the great support. Check him out at youtube.com/@backbreakervideo. You can also find all his live content over at twitch.tv/MikeTheRef, where he does his AEW watch along every Wednesday and his AEW Collision, or his AEW Dynamite watch along every Wednesday and his AEW Collision watch along every Saturday. He will be starting to do watch alongs for pretty much every AEW pay-per-view going forward. Trying to convince him to have me on for the Dynamite sidecast or for the Dynasty sidecast. Hopefully, trying to convince him to have me on for that one. Just join him on the show for that one in April. You can also go check out all his great gaming content on his Twitch channel. And if you want replays of his gaming content, go to youtube.com/@backbreaker_gaming. You find replays from him, Mr. PJC, Mr. Rick Jules, and their freaking guests, who will be his guests this coming Wednesday, March 13th, on covering the big business show for AEW. Kayla J.
Love Kayla J.
I regularly tune in for his Dynamite watch alongs, but I definitely want to tune in for this one to see him and Kayla J talk the hopeful debut of Mercedes Moné.
We shall see.
Melballs, where can they find you?
If you're wanting to follow a Melball, you can find her on the X thing at Collins Melball. You can find her on everything else, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Mastodon, and Blue Sky at Melball Collins. You can also find her, as Andre mentioned, on our local establishment's programming, Japanese Wrestling Update, on Friday. And it's going to be pre-recorded, as mentioned, because we are having fun and Andre needs to recharge. Relatable. And you can also find me on Astro Pizarro's YouTube channel, where we do our show, Ladies Wrestling Showcase. We have a lot of stuff to talk about with the ladies. Some crazy stuff just happened this last weekend. We need to talk about it. What else? If you're wanting to watch NJPW Wrestling, we will leave a link in the description box below. It is njpwworld.com. It is 999 yen, or approximately 10 Canadian. Shout out Sean Spears, and congratulations for being back on NXT. And actually, it is more like 750 claw.
The claw.
For the price, because of currency change or whatever, is still an amazing price to watch some professional wrestling. We're not going to question it.
I think it is going up for existing users to like 1250 yen with all the new updates. I think that's what it's going up to now. The price change will change. That's all I know.
We will let you know if it changes and when.
Yeah.
What else? Andre, my trusted friend and colleague, do you have anything else to say to the beautiful people?
I just want to say thank you to the beautiful people. Thank you for all your great support. Please keep, if you're watching on YouTube, on Andre Mobile Rust Talk or Backbreaker Video, like the video, subscribe to the channel, comment down below. We love hearing from you. Please share us out to all your friends, family, and aliens among us. And also, don't forget to hit the notification bell so you can learn every time we drop a new video.
Bingo.
Way too late at night. No, go away. I don't care if you have... Go away. And if you're listening on Sunday night's main event, please thank you so very much. Please give a like to the channel on your podcast player of choice. If you can, give us a 5-star review. If you can, we really would appreciate it. And if you want to support Sunday night's main event, go to patreon.com/SNME Radio.
And that being said, I am your Melbo. Over there is Andre. We will see you next time. Adios.